Welcome back to episode 3 of Scared Topless. I'm your co-host Daniela
and Jessica,
and today we are looking into Japanese urban legends. So my reasoning for my topic, I guess, for choosing Japanese like urban legends is because I feel like the culture itself intrigues me a lot, and I also went to Japan, as if I don't talk about this enough already.
Yeah, literally every conversation.
Like about 3 years ago when I was 19. I feel like it's been 3 years now. The whole culture of it is really interesting to me. I also like, I have this podcast because I like horror and like, you know, paranormal shit. So it's interesting to find, I guess, from different cultures, I guess their paranormal stories and urban legends. Kind of like we talked about in back in season one when we did the whole goat story with Tyler. That was really interesting. And I guess now I think what I want to continue doing in the later seasons is like picking urban legends from different cultures. And, yeah, you know, kind of like just that. Like educating yourself, because for sure there's different ones in Italy. And then, like we said, in Trinidad, and then from Panama, and so on, right? I guess another thing that I want to talk about, too, before we get into the whole stories I'm going to read out to you guys, is how a lot of Japanese urban legends actually, what do you call it, inspire American horror, and especially the cinema of it. Like, if you look at movies like The Grudge, and then The Ring, a lot of it comes from like J horror, yeah, and stuff like that. So I think the whole realm of it like is very interesting. We'll start into these cute little stories, I guess I like to say. We'll get into it. So we're gonna start with story number one, and it starts with basically like a frightening phantom boogeyman to populate the dark corners of Japanese urban legends, which start all the way back in 1978. And basically it's when, I guess the story starts with like a strange figure has been seen haunting in a rural farming town in Jifu. Okay, before I start to get into these stories, I want to say that like I tried my best to understand the pronunciation of half of these names, so forgive me if my pronunciation is gonna be, like, fucking ass, because it will be. Because I, like, last night, I was, Googling the pronunciation, and it was just, like...
Of, like, the cities?
The cities, the names, some of, like, you know, specifically, because it's, like, you can't translate them.
I mean, yeah, as per usual, when do we ever, like, pronounce anything, right?
Well, so. I can't even pronounce English sometimes, I feel like. I can't even say English words when I'm, like, on this podcast.
Period.
So, anyways, back to the story. Back to the story. Spooked locals begin to complain of seeing a shadowy woman who would lurk along the murky, darkened roads or fields, and who mostly kept her face covered by a mask. No one knew who this weird woman was, and rumor began to circulate that she was a ghostly wraith who could run superhumanly fast, disappear at will, and most frightening of all, that beneath the neck was a freakishly large mouth full of sharp teeth. Sounds kind of like a vampire.
Freaking scary, dude. Holy shit.
And children claimed to have been accosted by the mysterious lady and claimed that the only way to escape was to give her peace.
Claimed to have been what?
Accosted? Wait, I don't even know if I said that word right.
What does that mean?
I think like maybe lured into.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm kind of using words that I don't even understand.
Like accosted means to approach or address someone boldly or aggressively.
Oh, okay.
So they were approached aggressively by the mysterious lady.
Yeah.
Okay.
I host an episode, half of it is me like stuttering and mumbling and not able to pronounce half of my words precisely, like it's like
precisely
period. Okay, so the only way to escape was to give her a hard piece of hard candy or tell her that she was beautiful, so basically me. And this local story will mark the beginnings of the phantom known as the Kushisaki Ona, or Slit Mouth Woman, and the rumors continued. The town became concerned, and a professor at a university would say this. At first, teachers and parents were also worried, conducting patrols and arranging for children to return home in groups. The rumors died down around the start of the summer holidays in 1979, but the powerful image of the Slit Mouth Woman lingered in everyone's memories, establishing itself as another monstrous figure. So I feel like a lot of urban, among other urban legends, there's a lot of variations on the story, and the most common modern version is that the Kushiseki Ona is a foul, malevolent spirit that takes the form of what appears to be a young and pretty woman wearing a mask over the lower part of her face, or in some cases otherwise covering her mouth with a handkerchief or like a hand fan. She is often described as carrying something sharp, such as a knife, scythe, or even scissors, but for the most part, she just seems like a regular young and attractive woman wandering about the dark. According to the tale, she'll approach children at night to ask them if they think she's pretty, and this can go a lot of ways, none of them particularly pleasant. If the child says no, she kills them outright with her sharp object. If the child says yes, she pulls away her facial covering to reveal a horrific visage with a gaping maw from ear to ear filled with jagged teeth, and she'll ask the child again. So there seems to be no right answer, for if the child says no, she kills them, and if they scream, she kills them. If they say yes, she'll cut them from ear to ear to give them like a mouth like hers. And
that's some like Joker type.
I guess so, yeah, it is.
That's kind of what I picture, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Professors used to be like, no, go home in groups. But, like, there was no actual, like, cases of this happening. It's just people's fear.
Yeah. In the 70s. In the fucking 70s, man. What's going on during this time?
Well, yeah, that was no better than that Highgate vampire
case. That's what I'm saying.
Actually, I don't know. That Highgate vampire case that we were talking about, that was much more worse. That's like people actually getting with, what do you call them? The pitchforks?
Yeah, that was different. But still, like, both of them are in the 70s when it took place.
But this one's like, let's get our kids home so they're not approached by that beautiful woman with the fucking fucked up teeth, you know? It's not that bad. They're still getting people saved, but... Anyways, the only supposed way to get away is to apparently tell her she just looks average or reflect the question back at her, which will apparently confuse her or frustrate her enough to allow you to escape. In the original version, you can also get away by giving her candy, although in other versions, money will do. Which, of course, you know.
That's creepy, though. Was there any ever cases you found that, like, there was actually, like, a dead child?
I don't think so. This is just, like, an urban legend.
It was just, like, rumors.
Yeah, this is just rumors. Like, I feel like kind of just, like, in any culture, it's like, oh, be careful of the woman. But I find that in so many different cultures, I feel like I hear the same story where there's a beautiful woman that's actually like a demon or a ghost, or like she has an ugly face, like when she looks at you. Like, there's always the same story that keeps popping up, because I know in Panama we have something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have something like that too in Trinidad, Tyler?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know the nuances of it, but I've heard stories similar to that. It's kind of right. Like, I think the overarching idea is, like, be careful with the things that you think are too beautiful for you, right?
Oh.
Yeah, like, if you want to think of it, like, in terms of, like, social dynamics, or, like, the way that they would try to control the world around you, it's like, there's this beautiful thing that a lot of men are going to be attracted to, but that might not be very good for you, right? It might be a demon in disguise.
More like a life lesson.
Yeah, somewhere along that sense. I'm glad that I was able to tune in on this one, because it sounds very similar to the conversation that I had with you guys during the episode that I hosted regarding Trinidadian folklore, that there's kind of like a form of social control that was going on, which is interesting because it sounds like that folklore stories kind of permeate into other cultures, into other forms of social control. And often because of like the context of like the 70s, the 60s, and the 50s, where it's not like a technologically advanced or considerate time and place, mm-hmm. that, you know, the way that we controlled or informed people about the scary things about the world around us is through folklore stories. Or in this case, I think the Japanese word for demon is yokai.
Mm, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay.
So there's specifically the description of a beautiful woman who turns out to like actually like be harmful and dangerous to you is a theme throughout Japanese horror manga, which I am quite the fan of specifically, and maybe some of our our audience might know of it. There's a horror manga artist named Junji Ito who has a series called Tomi, which has become almost like a cult favorite amongst Japanese horror manga, about this woman who is beautiful, long silky black hair, beautiful eyes, and perfect skin.
Oh,
who
me.
Pardon?
Me.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. And she enters the lives of all these people, right? Of all these men, but because of her beauty, it drives them insane.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, and then so it would drive the men to the point of killing Tomi, but then Tomi would reincarnate in a different form and drive them insane, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that is just maybe similar, maybe not the same story, but like related to the whole yokai demon and women or
just looking so beautiful that they have a dark secret about them, or there's something dark about them.
Yeah,
you know,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I was gonna
Tomi
say,
is actually a really good example. I totally forgot about that. I didn't even think.
I didn't even know about what Tony was, to be honest.
Yeah. So I remember Tyler mentioning Junji Ito.
I have been trying to get you guys to read or look it or watch it for quite
some time.
Oh, is
this an anime?
I think there's a movie potentially about it, but
the manga
is the one that everyone reads and really likes. The way that his work goes, like it can't be translated into video like anime or like movies like very well. It's all about the page turn, but yeah, it does exist in that form.
Okay. I'll start with story 2. It's a little short story. So this is also another story about a malicious evil spirit, and the story of a woman who's said to have died when she fell on a train track and was cut in half by a passing train. So likewise, like the other story that I mentioned, there's like kind of many alterations and versions of the story, with some saying it was a man other than a woman, but the common feature is that there is a legless spirit that now scrabbles around on its two arms. So it's just like,
I don't like picture of that in my head right now.
Yeah, kind of like a zombie, like they just like move kind of like that way, and they create tapping, scratching, clicking sound, for which the Japanese, I guess, like the sound of it is called like teke teke. I don't know if I'm saying it right. I don't know, I want to say I'm hopefully saying this right. And this has become the spirit's name, and it's said that this distinctive noise can be heard from the dark before the vengeful and very angry spirit materializes. Despite using just two arms, the spirit is said to be extremely fast and able to leap long distances or even climb up sheer walls in some versions. In some versions of the tale, the spirit is able to get out a new pair of legs and will chop the legs off of unsuspecting victims. And in others, he or she is just angry because no one helped when they fell on the tracks to die. And whatever the case may be, the spirit has become very well known in Japan, with many stories, books, comics, and movies featuring it. And there are even spooky reports of people actually encountering the spirit, whether one believes it or not. If you're ever in Japan and hear an ominous scratching or clicking sound approaching you from the shadows, the older saying is like, just be safe and get out of there.
That kind of reminds me of the scary movie, what's it called? The Conjuring. Because you know how there would be like the knock knock you would hear first, and then you would like, kind of like how you would hear like the tech with the teke teke, like you hear the sound and then they appear.
Oh, like it's like a little like I guess, I don't know, like a little knock.
Yeah, that's why it kind of reminds me of The Conjuring, because I was in The Conjuring. No, it was like the knock on the...
Oh, three times.
Oh, was it three times?
I think they knocked three times, yeah. And like, okay, so this is a thing that I found like in a lot of paranormal like stories and stuff like that. There's always like a knock or like a tap that you're supposed to hear before like a spirit comes. I don't know. I've never experienced this. I don't know if anyone I know has ever experienced that, or if you have, just leave like a comment or let me know, or like DM us. Because I feel like the times that I've seen spirits, they're just there. Or they just appear, like, I've seen shadow people and stuff like that, but I don't know. When I was in Japan, I didn't hear any fucking dark shadows and, like,
but you wish you did?
Kinda, because then imagine, like, it's like, oh, I seen, like, a Japanese ghost, like, yeah. That was much more scarier. But then, I feel like I seen a lot of crawling, too. Now this reminds me of a lot of crawling, like, in horror movies. Like the guy said before, The Grudge and The Ring. Don't you ever notice that they're always crawling on their hands?
Yeah.
Like in those like J-horror movies.
And it's like Fast too.
Oh,
or ew. like Don't Turn Off the Lights.
Yes.
Is that what it's called? Or Lights Out? Lights no, Out maybe?
Lights Out.
Lights Out, my bad.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like a lot of like...
I hate that movie. It creeped me out so much.
Like a lot of... our cinema and like horror movies do come from Japan.
Yeah.
Which is likewise like many other things that we have, like cartoons and stuff like that. But the whole like creepy, like crawling, the woman with the long hair, like, you know, all that stuff like that.
Like certain characteristics were taken from like urban legends.
Exactly. Exactly. Which I feel like this is always kind of like a reoccurring theme that we see, right? So let's get on to story number 3. So this is one of the most well-known and I guess indeed frightening tales of this one spirit that's called the Red Cape or Red Cloak, which is aka Manto in Japanese. Or I guess, actually not aka, Aka Manto, my bad. It's fine. So this particular apparition is said to appear as a man in a flowing red cape and hood, often also wearing a creepy mask over his face, and according to the lore, his favorite hunt is in public or in school restrooms, almost always in the last stall and favoring the ladies' room. So low-key kind of like a pervert the spirit was, but it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Favoring the ladies' room, like, sorry, I didn't know spirit had like a preference, bro.
Chill, we can't judge, bro.
Just a little intrusive.
It is. It actually kind of is.
Yeah, isn't that a public safety concern?
Okay. So it is said that he'll appear just as one is about to wipe up.
Bro. Like, no. Like, a man, no. Like, that's your time when you're just, like, on your ones, you know? You're chilling, you're about to head out.
You're vulnerable.
Yeah, you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable, pants down. Like, hello?
I don't know. It's just, like, kind of weird, I guess, because the spirit just kind of waits for you to, like, take a shit. Like, I'll just wait. So, like, you know, and right when, like, you're about to actually clean up.
I mean, at least you can, like, poo in peace, you know?
He lets you.
And then it's, like, the afterwards that he's gonna come.
That's still kind of vulnerable, though. It's, like...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, you just finished. And, like, you know? Like, you probably just want to chill after, you
know? Like, at least come when I'm washing my hands, like...
Yeah, at least.
Like, pants up.
Yeah. Why? And if he's, like, in the ladies' restroom, that's kind of, like...
Yo, that's a little sus.
It's so
He's a pervert. He's a pervert. Or it's a pervert.
Spirit's kind of sus, not gonna lie.
Yeah. Who is this guy? Red cape.
Yo, okay.
Who? Who? The fuck? Okay.
So... So he'll actually make you an offer when you're like like cleaning up, you know, and he'll offer you if you want the red toilet paper or the blue toilet paper.
That's for the okay.
So
oh no,
I'm just curious, what will you guys choose, red or blue right now? Pick one.
Blue.
I guess red. We'll go with Tyler. Yeah, red. So that would be your answer if you were to, if he were to come up to you.
I'm scared. What's gonna happen to me?
Okay, so this is kind of one of those situations. It's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Well, I had a feeling, to be honest.
So if you chose the red, which is Tyler, the demon will supposedly stab you or flay you back and let you bleed to death, covered Jesus. In your own blood and red in color. If you choose blue, he will either smother and suffocate you with his cape or drain you dry of blood until you literally turn blue.
God, no, I wish I choose the red.
Yeah, what?
Like, take in, like, he's doing this right when, like, you finish taking a shit.
Like, I don't know why you keep saying shit. Like, what if they were just peeing?
Nah, because wipe up, like, I think of the worst. I don't know.
I guess.
Like, pants down and everything, and he's going to suffocate you. With your fucking, like...
I'd rather just be stabbed or flayed.
Your ass out and everything.
And bleed to death. Like, I don't want to be suffocated.
You assholes to the sky.
Assholes to the sky, bro. And then he's in the, like, woman's washroom. So I'm just gonna assume that, like, pussy's out and everything. And you're, like, being suffocated to death.
Yeah, this guy's got some fetishes. He's got, he's got some preferences that
needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
I'm not out here trying to kink shame, but like, come on, man. A little bit of respect. No,
I'm kink shaming this one spirit.
The spirit, yeah.
Normally I don't, for the most part.
It's like a game for him. It's like, red or blue? Like, which death do you choose? Both of them, it's like, I don't care.
My asshole's in the sky regardless.
Yeah, yeah, at the end of the day, I'm still naked, being like choked to death or stabbed to death, you know? Kind of sus, bro.
It is sus.
Yeah, this spirit's a little weird.
I just took in the weirdness of the story. I don't know. My bad, guys.
No, it's cool. It's cool. We gotta experience it. Yeah. It's a form of social control. It's use less toilet paper, I think, is the point.
Oh, yeah.
Be careful when you're wiping.
Wait a second. So you know how in Japan, how there's toilets where, like, the water sprays up to clean?
A bidet.
Yeah, like to
bidet.
To
they
like
have that in Europe.
To like avoid like
my nunno has a bidet.
Nice, because when I went to Japan,
my buddy has one.
So maybe that's the point of the story. Is that's why they have those.
Use
like,
the bidet.
Yeah,
save the trees. Use the bidet
because then you're not wiping up, so he'll never come.
Mm-hmm. I figured out a mystery.
We're geniuses.
We just unlocked something.
This is why
my brain just went into the next fucking level of
yo, we just solved Japanese folklore. Like we can now put on our resume Japanese folklore experts.
Freaking I feel like shit. There's a name for that. No, right?
Genius.
Genius.
We're geniuses.
Goddamn.
Damn. So, let me continue the story, because this story is actually not over.
Oh, there's more.
There's more. So, trying to be clever and choosing a random other color will upset him, and he'll either just kill you in a way that your skin ends up whatever color you choose, or failing that he'll simply drag you off to the underworld to never be seen again. So, there don't seem to be a lot of ways out of this situation.
I mean, there never really is.
So it's like, once he sees you, bro, like, just...
You're doomed.
Kiss your life goodbye, man, because you're never coming back from that. Like, that's, like, the last shit that you take. The last, like, piss that you take of your life. And then the underworld, there, you're gone. However, if you come across the manto, the best way to deal with it is to just ignore the question entirely and try to go about your business as if he's not even there at all. This may be quite difficult to do with a mask and cloak demon hovering in front of you, but it is better than the alternatives. Am I right?
Yeah.
So if you're having like diarrhea and like you just kind of have to pretend that the demon's not there with his hands out with the red or like
imagine you just drop the biggest like
oh my god
the Yo, biggest like, dookie.
Yeah, yeah, I got a lot of cleaning to do, man. Jess,
why'd you say it like that?
You just dropped the biggest dookie. You're feeling kind of nice, like.
Yeah, like I'm hella relieved, and then the spirit comes to say hi. Like, yeah. Yo, I was feeling good. What do you want now?
I wonder if you can like talk to him and like.
You have a conversation?
Yeah, or like he's there for like moral support, like like holding your hand, like, you know, like helping you out.
He's like, yeah, man, no worry. We know curry was a bad idea last night. Patting you on the back as
oh my god.
If you met that, would you try to have a conversation with him? Just be like, so like why are you here? What went wrong in your life that you wanted to be here at the toilet?
I'd be like, yes, I choose blue, but before you go on with what you're about to do, I just want to know why.
Let's call a spade, Mr. Spirit. This is fucking weird.
Why here and now?
Why here and now? And it's like, I would feel like just kind of regret. Because then I'm like shy. Like, you know, like what's a bathroom shy?
Oh, yeah, you have, like, poo anxiety.
Performance anxiety?
performance anxiety.
Yeah, I'll get performance anxiety, because now it's like, oh my god, like...
He's watching.
Yeah, he's watching, and it's, like, my last, like, shit of my life. Like, better make this one a good one, you know? He's just there, like...
What if it's not satisfying?
Yeah, what if it's not satisfying? What if it's, like, one of those that you like, can't take a nap after? Like, you know,
imagine just like ending your life on a bad shit.
No, that's the worst.
Yeah, I think I would have to like redo.
I'll ask for a redo.
Yeah, I hope that I would reincarnate, and then, you know,
ask the spirit. Can I
first
try
thing
one more
I would
time,
do
man?
Was
I promise I'll eat more fiber.
Yeah, like I'll just be like, oh, just let me go to a restaurant, another one. And I'll be back in, like, 3 hours. Like, let's just do a quick redo, please. Because, like, I don't know. I'm just a clown.
Yeah, yeah, it's the spirit. Like, yo, you want to go for sushi?
Imagine. No.
Yo, let's go for sushi. Like, I promise the next one will be better.
You're already in Japan, so might as well go get sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, like, ramen or udon.
Ramen noodles.
You start, like, dating the fucking spirit, just, like, casually.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's like, wait, no one ever cared to talk to me like this.
Oh wait.
And then
second.
He's like, all I ever wanted was someone to care.
Wow. He's just a super like nice dude.
He takes off the mask and the cloak and he's just like a skinny white boy underneath it all.
What? Yes. Okay, now you're just actually
now she's projecting.
Yeah, you're projecting. This story just like actually went really wholesome and then it's like went to one of your fantasies. Like that you just projected onto me and Tyler. Like, I actually didn't expect that to happen.
All right. Maybe went a little too deep there.
Nah, it's okay.
No, remember, we're unlocking Japanese folklore.
Yeah, we're just, like, trying to understand, is all.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anywho. There's not much background to what Manto might be, but I think we kind of just talked about that.
I think we unlocked it. We figured it out.
He's just a spirit with a weird fetish, and he just wants to be loved for once.
He just wants to hold someone's hand for the first time.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Aw, that's actually the most sad thing I've ever heard, because aren't, like, demons and ghosts, like, they're, like, looking for peace? Maybe not so much demons, but, like... ghosts are kind of like wandering and like they're like lonely and they just want a friend.
Yeah, like their lives on earth wasn't fulfilled, so they are trying to live it through, you know, their past life. Mm-hmm. or their ghost spirit, and maybe he just wanted to hold someone's hand but he doesn't know bathroom etiquette.
Ooh, that actually reminds me of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Which one?
The movie.
Oh, what about the movie though?
It's like the girl, the spirit, she was just hurt because no one believed her when she was, like, alive.
Oh, okay,
and she was telling the truth, and no one believed her, and all she needed was, like, that one person to be like, hey, I'm gonna rewrite your story, and I'm gonna tell people the truth.
Maybe that's the way to, like, get out of the situation,
so maybe the spirit was, like, done dirty in the stall.
Yo!
Done dirty in the stall, bro. He's coming, and now he's coming back.
And, you know...
He's done dirty.
Maybe that's how he, like, died, and he just, like...
Bro, we're fucking around too much lately. We're capping, like, too hard.
This season, I know we're kind of getting out of topic, but this season has been very meme-y.
Yeah. So far, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like definitely as a podcast... host, we're all kind of getting more comfortable with these episodes. A bit too comfortable, to be quite honest, because we're messing around talking about demons and spirits, and we're like, oh, oh, he's capping.
Oh, oh, stinky.
Oh, stinky. Like, you know, so maybe we should be kind of careful, because, like, high key, I do not want...
I don't want to be home tonight, like, just before I wipe, and like, some shit pops up, like,
Homie comes, and he's like, I heard you were talking shit.
Yeah, literally.
I heard what was going on in that podcast.
I'm going to tell him, like, you're capping, bro.
Finish wiping and walk.
Yeah, I'll be like, you're straight capping, man.
Imagine you're just like, nah.
Deadass, bro. I'll be like, nah, I'll be like, not this one. Come back, like, tomorrow. Come back when I go out, actually. When after a full day, you know? But, like many urban legends, you know, this story has a lot of variations and alternations and stuff like that. And it kind of been around since the 1930s. And, yeah, so sometimes in some stories, he appears wearing a red sleeveless kimono, and in others he will ask if you prefer a red cape or a blue cape rather than toilet paper. Either way, he's not something one wants to encounter when sitting down on the toilet late at night. And there are rather disturbingly many who claim to have actually encountered this thing,
and they're alive to tell the tale.
Yeah, because they just ignored the spirit.
So that's the way to go then.
Yeah, you have to ignore it. Remember, that's like what I said before. You have to ignore it. You have to ignore it and just, like, take your shit and leave.
Okay.
Like, just walk past him, you know?
Well, at least with this one, there's a way out.
Yeah.
Like, there's an escape.
At least, but it's like, if you don't know the story, then there's not really much escape. And it's like, there's so many... Like, people reported that the entity is very real. So if you find yourself in this predicament, remember not to choose neither red or blue. Just keep doing what you're doing and leave. And that's on that. And it suggests that you should be a red. I don't think the spirit will follow you. Hopefully not. Or maybe even, like, taking some precaution. Maybe don't take the last stall on the washroom. Maybe take the first one. Because apparently it's like he lingers in the last one. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. See, I always take, like, the middle stall. Is that just me?
I take, like...
not, like, obviously middle, not, but, like, somewhere in the middle.
The last second one is what I take.
Okay, you're still at the ends. That's his ends, bro. That's where he chills. Bro, we sound such, like, Toronto. Like, that's his ends, bro.
But you, bro, like, you always, we've always said
that's his
like
ends,
that,
man. He's gonna come there.
Oh my god.
Nah, I'm stopping.
Bro, this girl loves the cap.
I swear. You and Spear will get along great then.
Yeah, but anyways, so take a middle stall. Moral of the story, take a middle stall, and if you still encounter danger, and then just pay no mind.
And that also, like, try to take toilets that have that, like, the washing toilet thing. What is this called that
we said? Oh, the bidet.
The bidet.
Then I doubt that.
Yeah, I mean, just buy one of those. Just buy one of those, man, and you'll be good. I think that's the moral of the story.
You'll pay the spirit no mind.
a cloaked red kimono appears in front of you. Just pay no mind.
20 minutes on this one.
Pay me no mind.
Yeah.
But that's the end of, I guess, our podcast. I don't know if you guys have any final thoughts about these.
Of the three, because we went through three, mm-hmm. what is everyone's favorite? I think that's a good question to ask.
I think, personally, for me, I like the third one because I like to make a joke out of, like, stupid folklore ghostly tales. Those are kind of my favorite. But in terms of, like, the scariest one, I think the second one with the tap and the woman going on, like, no legs and walking on her, like, arms is kind of, like, my favorite because, like, that's, like, pretty scary.
Yeah, the imagery of that one is actually, I can imagine it to be very scary.
Because
yeah,
I like, picture really it like the Grudge kind of shit, you know?
It
like,
might be inspired in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, right? For sure.
100%, I think right. It would.
Because I'm pretty certain, isn't the Grudge inspired by a Japanese horror?
It is, and yeah. Same with the Ring.
Yeah.
So, like, because, like, in the beginning of the podcast, I was mentioning how a lot of our horror genre is inspired by J-horror.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, I guess it's a kind of like an essay on its own. It's like the globalization of all that into our American culture.
Yeah. And well, I did a lot of my thesis paper was based off of like kind of inspired by like Japanese horror films and, you know, the creative expression of social anxieties. Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of, from what I've learned, Japanese horror and a lot of their art is inspired by social anxieties that exist because of, like, new environments and stuff like that. So a lot of their horror and folklore stories, especially with the timeline given, it makes a lot of sense with some of the stuff that is almost, like, concerning, right? I my favorite of the three was the Kuchisake Onna, the slit mouth woman. I really, really like that. I think mostly because of my bias towards Junji Ito and Tomie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was probably the most interesting to me.
I was going to say the same for me, actually. I really liked the first one. Mm. It was just really creepy for me. Like, that she would pull down her mask if you said yes, and that she had the slit mouth from ear to ear.
It's yeah. Like she wanted you to see that she was actually murked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, like, yeah.
I don't know what the imagery of
it is really cool. I think maybe it's, like, beneath the beautiful face there's a mask. It is in itself
facade
of like deeper, darker intentions and maybe malicious activity and stuff like that, you know, if things aren't always what they seem, right? And this is like a folklore story that is the embodiment of that thought process.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
These were cool though. I actually really enjoyed like hearing about that. I didn't know that a lot of American horror was based off of Japanese horror.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And like now that looking back at like examples we were talking about, you can see like the parallels.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, thank you guys for listening to Scared Topless. Be sure to follow us on social media at Scared Topless for updates on our episodes and let us know what you guys thought of this week's episode. You could also send us an email if you have any future cases you want us to cover or what you want to hear from us next. Until then, we are your hosts, and we'll see you next time.